Maybe we could talk about something else. And then the guy says, no, hold a second. I could buy that. You know, that's a reverse close. And assumptive close is, Chris, I'll ship you these over tomorrow. And the guy goes, no, hold a second here. You know, don't ship them over tomorrow. Assumptive close is a technique. We're going to talk more about those just so we know what they are. And I have them listed here, actually, on page 8. So if you want to read further about that, you're certainly welcome, too. Relationship selling is about helping each other. You help the customer with your value and with your company's value. That's how you help the customer. You help them with anything you can help them with. If the guy plays golf, you play golf, or you read about golf, or whatever it is. You try to maybe get a golf magazine, cut out articles and things like that for the guy, or whatever. Relationship is helping in any facet that you can with a customer over a period of time.
We're going to. Can I interrupt you? For
sure,
a second?
Anytime. Sure.
You firmly believe that going in there and kissing that customer's backside on every little thing that he likes to do is a good way to do it? Because I got to tell you, I'm just not into that.
No, you don't.
That would be asking me to be somebody who I'm not, and I don't think that plays to my strengths.
Well, you need to develop your skills, Mike.
Sure.
You'll be better at it if you do that. Make yourself more flexible. Anybody can say, why won't work? Let me tell you, the most significant sales guys that I know, and I know all the top sales guys at Seco, and I personally have talked to them, interviewed them, and so on and so forth. Get a hold of Randy Barnes. Find out about what he does with his customers. It should all be honesty-based. Now, if I don't like to go eating snails or worms or something like that, I'm not going to eat them. But I certainly could read about them and learn about them and understand it better. And the idea is stretching myself so that we find areas of common ground. Let me give you an example. I had a guy want me to do a program. Now, I charge a certain fee, and I don't change it because I come here and I tell you to hold the price and I can't be caving. This guy kept squeezing me and this and that, and I'm in it for the long haul, as you guys are. You're in it for the long haul. So I say to the guy, that's what it is, you know. But I keep, would it be all right if I check back with you in a little while? See, oh, yeah, it's okay. So then I go to Ireland. I happen to be Irish. And this is a few years ago. I went to Ireland. And I was right around the time I was calling this guy, I told him I was going to Ireland. Freaking find out this guy's from Ireland himself. And he tells me about why we're going to. End the story. Let's do the program. Once he found out I was going to Ireland, I was from Ireland, he was from Ireland, all this kind of stuff was like amazing, totally amazing. So there's more ways to skin a cat. And that's what you need to be open to that. Maybe the way I'm doing it is the way I do it. God bless you, but maybe there's another way. And the top sales guys in the country are out there developing relationships. Customers ride motorcycles. They're out there riding motorcycles. Customers go camping. They go camping. Whatever it is, they start doing. Now, you're not going to do something. If a guy's a weightlifter and you're not a weightlifter, then you're not going to be weightlifting. But, I mean, if you like working out and a customer works out, and I'm not saying you're going to, like, change your whole schedule around and be something you're not, you know. But finding larger areas of common ground are really helpful. And it has to be something that is joint. Like, for example, I used to be a tournament tennis player. And I had an account that I was working on, and they got a new plant manager. He came in from another factory. So first of all, this guy doesn't have any friends in the account. And everybody else thought they should have got the job. So he's got enemies. So I figured, this is great. I'm going to go into this new plant manager and try to captivate him before he gets bogged down with all this stuff. So I said to him, hey, listen, you know, how about lunch? So he says, fine. Now, you know, typically you park in the front, and his office was like 4 miles back. So, you know, my cars were out in the front. So he goes, well, why don't we just take my car? Because his office was right there. His car was right outside. So when I get in his car, I look in the back seat. He's got a tennis racket in his back seat. I'm going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's got a tennis racket in his back car, in the back seat. Holy Christmas. Guess what? I start hitting tennis balls with him. We stop, have a few beers. I get his wife out there. I'm giving them both lessons and stuff like that, going on and on. And it wasn't tennis lessons. Yeah. And it was, I mean, it was a very, very natural thing. Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, let's move over now to page 9. All right.
Something on that, though, is I hate golf.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of my customers. I know everybody loves to golf. I just can't stand it myself.
Right.
I had a bunch of my customers that invited me out on a golfing trip and everything else. And I said, you know what, guys? I said, I don't have a problem. I'll drive the cart.
Yeah.
And I went out with them. They were golfing. I drove the cart around.
You could take pictures.
I sat there and I talked to them and everything else, and they were tickled to death as I went along.
Sure. You know what you could do is
swing a golf club to save my life.
Get a golf cart and get a camera and go around and just take pictures, you know, and ride along with some of the guys if that happens. But that's the attitude. You don't have to. If you're a horrible golfer, let me tell you, good golfers aren't going to want you out there trying, you know, chopping up the thing, so on and so forth. And if you're not a fisherman, you could still go along and take pictures and things like that and hope they don't throw you overboard. Okay, this next chart is a chart that I find to be helpful, and I hope you do too. If you look at this chart, it's the readiness to buy curve. This represents all customers that are out there. You know, these customers over here, you can never, ever exist in a territory with just the customers that are easy to sell. Why is that? They're going to buy from anybody that comes in the door. Somebody new? Oh, yeah, we'll buy your stuff. Oh,